Turn over to the Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I'm going to read it again. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that know their God, say the people that know their God, shall be strong and do exploits. And do exploits. Let me define for you what an exploit is. This is, write this down. This is what an exploit is. A bold, daring feat. A bold, daring feat. A striking or notable deed or feat. Striking or notable. Striking or notable. Now, the people that know their God, amen, will do exploits. That's what the Bible says. So they'll do notable, striking feats. Another word for this, another definition, is a spirited or heroic act. People that know God that are going to do exploits, those that will do exploits, they will do spirited and heroic acts. Unusual accomplishments. Not the norm, not normal. Unusual accomplishments. It means that those that know God who will do exploits will command heroic feats. It means they'll be pace setters. They're going to set the pace. It means that they will blaze new trails. God is saying to us that we're going to be bold and daring, striking and notable, unusual in our accomplishments, spirited, heroic. We will be pace setters, blazing trails, and we will operate beyond the natural order of accomplishments. That those who know God are to operate beyond the order of natural accomplishments. Look at somebody and say, I'm not just supposed to do the natural. Say this, God wants my life and my children to do beyond, to go beyond, to go further, to go higher than just natural results. I don't know if you understand what I just said. That's what God wants for your life. You're to do it on an order of the unusual. On the order of higher than normal. I mean that you're to operate at when everybody said, that little guy is too short. God said, it doesn't matter. I can give you springs in your feet. That person is not strong enough. His character, he doesn't have a strong enough character to do that. God knows how to fix your character. Somebody ought to say amen. That God expects us or wants for us to do exploits. On your job, God has exploits exceeding the natural order of things. That you may have come from a crack house. You may have come from the worst of the worst environments and the worst of the worst neighborhoods. And nobody would give you a chance to succeed in life. That everybody that looked at you and said, there's no hope. There's no way somebody that comes out of that city or comes out of that town or came out of that house could do something great. And yet God said that if you know Him, that it doesn't matter what crack house you came out of. It doesn't matter who your mama was. It doesn't matter if you don't know who your daddy was. Somebody ought to shout out amen. It doesn't matter your background. Amen. It doesn't matter. You know, my dad came out of the hills of Tennessee. He did not know who his father was. He had no idea. When he was growing up, when he was just a young man, that he and his brother lived underneath the bridges in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They didn't even have a house. They didn't have a house. They would swing off the bluffs over in Tennessee. I'm talking about they lived with one pair of pants and a shirt, no shoes. People made fun of them. Said they'd never be anything. It was so bad that when my dad, my uncle, met this nice lady one day. And the nice lady came and found him. And the nice lady said, you can come live with me. And he came back to my father and said to my dad, said, look, I met this really nice lady today. I don't know who she is, but she said we could come live in her house. They got to that house, didn't even know it was their grandmother. They didn't even know it was their grandmother who'd come looking for them. Don't tell me where you've been. I know you look today and you think, look at Pastor Steve. My dad didn't have a father. He didn't even know how to raise a son. Hallelujah. But God came in and caused that man to do exploits. He raised a doctor and a pastor. My sister's one of the great doctors in our state because of an education she got through a father who didn't even know what education was. He was the first one in his family who even had an education. He ended up playing professional baseball. Nobody pushed him. Nobody helped him get there. What am I saying to you? See, you look up here and you think, well, Pastor Steve, you had a silver spoon. I've never had a silver spoon, but it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you've been picked up from or where you've been drunk out of. It doesn't matter what the history used to be. God says, they that know their God shall do exploits. You need to tell your children, honey, you can do it because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You need to tell them little guys and them little girls that nothing is impossible to him that believes, and that no matter what the teacher said, no matter what anybody around them said, no matter what the kid standing next to them said, no matter what was going on, that God, he'll pick you up out of the dirt. He'll pick you up out of the mess. He'll pick you up from the worst environment, and he'll turn it around and make something out of nothing. God can make something out of a nothing. Problem is, most people don't know we're all nothings. Because without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. I hope it helps you today to realize that there's no excuse, there's no way. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that the Word of God will transform your life and turn you into something. You'll come in one way and leave another man. God can transform every situation. God is the God of the miraculous. And you come to a church like this, we're not here to tell you that what you're going through is somehow God's benefit to your life. I'm telling you right now, what you're going through is of the enemy. It's of the world. It's of your flesh. And you have the right to overcome it. You have the right to stand against it. You have the privilege to stand up in your life and say that no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. And that though somebody said, I can't make it, God said you can make it. And they that know their God shall do exploits. You'll be unusual. Able, capable. Like David and Goliath. Listen to me. David was a nobody from nowhere. When the prophet of God came, Dad had sent David into the fields as far as he could send him. Hallelujah. He didn't look right. He didn't smell right. He was just a little guy. No one would have considered him. As a matter of fact, when the prophet came and he said, bring me a son, that wasn't the first one chosen. He was on the last of the list. Today you may be sitting there and they may have put you on the bottom of the list. I wish somebody in here shout out amen. If y'all don't get a shouting better, I'm going to stay till 1 till you do. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I won't do that. My wife's thinking, you got to pray for them. You got to pray for them. She's right. And David went out on that field when they chose him. When he walked out there, that Philistine made fun of him and said he couldn't do it. What did you send this stupid little kid out here? Why did you send this in? He's incapable. He's not able. There's no way this kid can win a victory for you. I'm sure the Israelites were sitting there thinking the same thing. Why did we send this little kid out there? What's wrong with it? What were we thinking? But God sees something greater in the character of somebody that loves him than the character of somebody that doesn't. They that know their God. Know their God. Them that know their God. Just like David and Goliath. Just like David unraveled the dreams. You remember when they came and he came and unraveled the dreams to the people. He was able to show them the meaning of those dreams. The Bible tells us what a great feat that was. How could he do that? Because he knew his God. Joseph brought solutions. Listen to Genesis 41, 37 through 39. This proposal pleased Pharaoh. And all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom the Spirit of the Lord is? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. There is none so discerning and wise as you are. Do you know where he came from? Do you know that he was sold into slavery? Do you know he was thrown in a pit? Do you know he was rejected by his family? Do you know that he went to jail? Do you know that he was lied upon? Do you know it? And yet when God came on him, and when God put his hands on him, he gave him the ability to do what nobody else could do. He did unusual feats and amazing things. And I tell you today, God wants to do amazing, unusual things through you in this room. If you get what I'm saying today, something should rise up on the inside of you. And you should be the one that changes all the statistics. You should be the one. I declare this over you in the name of the Lord, that the stats are going to change because you're there. I declare over you that the story is going to change in your life, that your future is going to be bright. I declare that every evil thing that's come and stood against your future and your destiny shall be broken in the name of the Lord, and that you'll rise up and walk in a great place, in a high place, in a new way, in a greater way, and God will use you in magnificent and tremendous ways. I declare it over you. Everything withholding your destiny shall be broken. How does it happen? The Holy Ghost empowers us to do exploits. Isaiah 45, 1 through 3. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. I want you to look at somebody and say, it takes the anointing. It takes the anointing. See, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to lay hands on you and impart to you, by faith, your faith and our faith, an anointing. I fasted for it. I prayed for it. I believe God for an anointing. When I lay hands on your kids, my kids, on the teachers and bus drivers, that there's an impartation of anointing, because it is the anointing. It's the anointing. Look at somebody and say, it's not a program. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And today when we lay hands on you, we're believing that there's an impartation of anointing. He said, those that are anointed. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belt of kings. Listen to that. Loose the belt of kings. To open doors before him that gates may not be closed. He'll open doors that gates may not be closed. I'll go before you and I will level the exalted places. I'll break in pieces the doors of bronze and I'll cut through the bars of iron. I'll give to you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, that I call, that who call you by your name. The anointing causes us to break through in life. Verse 11 says this, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of these things. And come concerning my sons, and concerning the words of my hands, command ye me. Now that doesn't mean you and I can have the right to go around commanding God, but listen to what it does mean. It means that concerning all the issues of your life, you will have command over them, because you can leave it to him. Okay, let me say it again, because I don't know if anybody just got what I said. In other words, if you know God, you're going to do exploits. When you know God, when you have his power, his anointing in your life, you're going to do exploits. Concerning the issues of your life, you will have command over them, because you can leave it to God. God's saying this, you will be able to dominate in life because I will command it to be so. God wants you to dominate in life. The anointing puts you in authority and puts you in command of circumstances. Isaiah 45, 13. I raised him up in righteousness. I will direct him in all of his ways. He'll build my city. He shall let go of my captives. nor for the price of reward, saith the Lord of hosts. You'll have authority and he'll put you in command of circumstances. The anointing empowers the believer to command these exploits. Isaiah 61:1-2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is talking about Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed. Look at what the anointing does. To preach the gospel, good tidings, unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prison doors to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You see, the anointing is vital. Write this down. The anointing is vital to declare the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of God, upon forces that are set to hold us back or tie us down. According to this, he anointed him to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. What this means is that the anointing is vital to declare the vengeance of God upon the forces that are set to hold us back or tie us down. When the anointing comes, the vengeance of God comes. And that vengeance of God sets at captive the captor. He captures the captor. He takes down the enemy. It is the vengeance. You've got to have that power to come into your life. The anointing restores the beauty to the believer. Isaiah 61:4 says, and they build up the waste places. They shall rise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste places and the desolations of generations. In other words, the anointing restores the beauty. The anointing restores it. The more anointing you have in your life, the more beautiful you are. The more attractive you are. Somebody say amen. Listen to this. The anointing empowers men to accomplish unusual feats. Isaiah 61:5-6. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But your name shall be but ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call the minister of God. You shall eat the rich of the Gentile, and the glory shall boast of yourselves. In other words, you're going to do great exploits. And then listen to this, Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses. You know that word witnesses does not mean you're going to be a voice for God. It will mean you will be a vision of God. Amen. It's not about you going out with a track and handing out a track. Is that when people look at the anointing in your life, they'll see the anointing because you're driving a nicer car. You're living in a nicer place. I'm not talking about possessions. I'm just talking about how God's anointing comes into your life and you become a statement. You become a statement. When it should have took me out, the anointing came and held me up. When I should have went under, the Holy Ghost came and kept me up. He held me. I walked on the water instead of fell under the water. Come on, somebody. I ate instead of starved. I was the anointing breaks the yoke. The spirit of power. The power is there to subdue everything against God's agenda in your life. The Holy Spirit in your life, the anointing, brings power. That power is there to subdue everything that is against God's agenda in your life. Tell me, do you think God has an agenda for your child to be dumb? The anointing is there to ensure they're not. I wish you understood what I'm saying. Last year, we went through a few issues of bullying with Stephen, just a few. I'm believing this year that we're not going to have any. And I want the rest of you parents to believe the same thing. I don't want to see a parent come in my office and tell me, Pastor, will you pray with me? Now, if it happens, we're going to pray. But I want to believe right now. How many know preventative is better than... This is preventative. We're going to pray prevention. We're going to pray and believe God right now. We're going to stand for prevention of the problem instead of miracles in the problem. I don't mind having a financial miracle. I don't mind it. When I need one, you know what I mean? When it gets tough and I need a financial, but I'd rather live rich. I don't mind needing getting a healing when I need a healing, but I'd rather live healthy. I don't mind coming and bailing out folks in the church with their children or whatever. But wouldn't it be better if all your kids are just saved? Amen. Serving God? Yes. Holy Ghost filled? Amen. Fire baptized? I'm talking about moving in God. Wouldn't it be better to have God, instead of having a marriage challenge and God heal your marriage, you just have a miracle marriage? That's what I'm talking about. The anointing breaks the yoke. This is the anointing. And it's that power that comes in our life to subdue everything against God's agenda in your life. His glory accompanies the power. When His power comes, His glory comes. His glory always accompanies the power. And the glory of God will dress you this year. I believe you're going to be clothed in the very glory and power of God. I want you to say that with me. I shall be clothed in the very power and glory of God. Say it again. I and my family shall be clothed in the very power and the glory of God. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And we who know our God shall do exploits.